2019 is a pre-pandemic economy, and I know that COVID-19 had a drastic impact on the global economy as a whole, let alone South Africa. But what else changed that led to such a drastic increase in food?
What we have seen, for instance, is that the post-COVID economy trying to come together again has led to major problems, logistical problems. So the transporting of food from one part of the world to another was delayed and trying to catch up after COVID to quite a long time. But then almost immediately we went into the Russia-Ukraine conflict, which of course also exacerbated food prices globally, particularly when it comes to cereals, as well as sunflower seeds and its impact on vegetable oil, sunflower oil and vegetable oil. So we saw, for instance, that 5-liter cooking oil in South Africa increased in the immediate aftermath of the Russia-Ukraine conflict by almost 120%. And of course, cereals is the base for many other kinds of food. So when corn or wheat or so increases, it has a knock-on effect on many other types of food as well. But we've also had various local factors. So for instance, we had the avian flu, which of course led to massive spikes in the price of chicken and poultry products. But perhaps the most consistent local factors have been the collapse of our logistical infrastructure. So for instance, when we talk around ports, our roads, all of these have had a very negative impact. Our railways, Transnet has basically collapsed. And that has meant that most of our food has to be transported by road rather than by rail, putting an extra burden on the cost because of the amount of fuel that is being used for that purpose. And then, of course, the massive issue around energy supply, so load shedding that we've had. And that has had a number of impacts. So, for instance, farmers either couldn't do irrigation because they didn't have electricity to irrigate, so they produced less food. And then they also had to lay out a massive amount of money in order to create solar-generated energy. All of those have had an impact.
How are consumers meant to survive? I imagine that food will only continue to get more and more expensive while most people's salaries either decrease or remain the same or people get retrenched.
So households are just unable to deal with these cost of living increases. It's not only the increase of food. Of course, it's also the increase in electricity. Electricity has a major impact on one's ability to purchase efficient and nutritious food because you do need electricity either to store the food in the fridge or to cook the food that you have bought. So there's a big connection between these two things. And when we look at affordability, I mean, just a simple thing, if we look at the national minimum wage, for the month of May, that wage would have brought in something in the region of about 4,700 rand. Most people tell us that they spend a big portion of that income on transport, understandably. If you have to go to work, then you have to keep your job. And one of the ways of doing that is to arrive on time. So transport is important. And then, of course, electricity is critically important. So between those two expenses alone, that will take up about 56% of the wage. And then you only have something in the region of about 2,046 rand left over of the wage after you've paid those two other expenses, let alone if you have to pay rent and debt servicing and all those other things, while the price of a basic basket of food is standing at 5,330. So what households are doing, those who are in the lower income group or are unemployed or live off social grants, they are eating less food or less quality food. You know, the highly processed foods are often more cheaper, but of course it's not nutritional. And they would eat that food or one or two food types just to be full, but of course it doesn't provide the body with the nutrition it needs. While the middle class are under immense burden because more and more we are seeing that they are buying their food on the credit card, and with very high interest rates, the debt servicing charges are increasing as well. So those are the two options that most households are taking. And both those two options are actually bad for South Africa's socioeconomic development. Unless we understand that access to sufficient and nutritious food is, of course, critical for human dignity, but it is also a major constitutive input into ensuring good educational outcomes, ensuring good health, and in the long term, ensuring economic development and economic productivity. So if we fall flat on access to sufficient and nutritious food, all these other important indicators for the country will suffer. And that is why we believe that it's one of the most important tasks facing the new government as they create this government of national unity, is exactly how they are going to ensure that South Africa's families, households have at least have access to sufficient and nutritious food. And in order to do that, we would say that two things are necessary. Firstly, that we have to ensure that child support grant, from which many children are living, these 23% of children who are undernourished, that they are living from, that the child support grant needs to be set at the level of the food poverty line. Currently, the child support grant is somewhere in the region of 560 or so, while the food poverty line is 760 rand. So there's a discrepancy there. And then secondly, we're going to have to change the way in which we produce our food in order to create more localized food systems rather than massive commercial farms, and bring these food production closer to our cities so that we are not so dependent on fuel prices and global factors that impact on our food prices.